John 15 from verse 18. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they did not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering a service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. And none of you asked me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you.
Hello everyone. It's really good to see you all. Especially warm welcome if it's your first time. My name is Brian Wong and I'm on the staff at the Moorgate Talks. So how can Christians stay connected to Jesus in the face of persecution? How can Christians stay connected to Jesus in the face of persecution? In John chapter 15, Jesus is the true vine and Christians are the branches. Jesus wants his followers to stay connected to him. As they do that, they will bear fruit. And bearing fruit just means that others will follow Jesus as well. In our passage today, Jesus warns his disciples to expect persecution. So if the world hates Christians, how can Christians stay connected to Jesus? If none of our colleagues want to hear the gospel, how will Christians bear fruit? And in my experience, even keen Christians can drift away from the Lord Jesus because they are fed up with not being liked by the world. They want to fit in with everyone else around them, not to be seen as odd or bigoted. And for many of us here, even if we never walk away from Jesus entirely, we'll still face the temptation to become less connected with Jesus as the years go by. We'll want to please God, but also to please man. We want our bosses to like us so that we can get that promotion. We want our kids to be invited to their friends' birthday parties. And so we hang on to Jesus, but only just. We hardly do evangelism, and the fruit that we produce is small and shriveled. Well, Jesus says that he does not want his disciples to fall away from him, to be disconnected from him. He tells us that in chapter 16, verse 1. And he tells them how it is that they can be connected to him, even in the face of the world's hatred and persecution. So let's have a look at today's passage. Point one, and you can find an outline on the back page of your handouts. So point one, expect persecution from the world. Expect persecution from the world. Jesus warns his disciples to expect persecution. Let me read from verse 18 again. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. So what Jesus is saying here is that his disciples should expect persecution from the world. The world will hate them just as they hated the Lord Jesus. The disciples no longer belong to the world. They now belong to Jesus. And so as Jesus' servants, they can expect the same treatment that their master received. Jesus then unpacks why it is that the world hates him and his disciples. He first tackles hatred of himself in verses 21 to 25, and then he explains why the world will hate his disciples as well in verses 26 to chapter 16, verse 4. So first off, why does the world hate Jesus? Well, verse 21 says, it is because they do not know the one who sent him. The world does not know the Father. God the Father has sent Jesus with delegated authority to speak his words and to perform his miracles. But just as God's people rejected God the Father in the Old Testament, so they reject God the Son in the New Testament. And this fulfills a psalm in the Old Testament that God's own people, the Jewish nation, would reject God's king. Well, what about the disciples then? We've looked at why the world persecutes Jesus. Why do they persecute the disciples? Well, as the disciples will bear witness about Jesus. As they do so, their message will be rejected. But it gets even worse than that. They will be thrown out of the synagogues. They will become social outcasts. And they will even be killed. And those who kill them will think that they are offering service to God. They will actually think that they are pleasing God by killing his messengers. And the reason, why is it that they hate the disciples and persecute them? Well, it's the same reason as why they killed Jesus. It's because they do not know God the Father. They persecute the disciples because they have rejected both God the Father and God the Son, Jesus. Why is it that Jesus warns the disciples about the persecution that they will face? Chapter 16, verse 1 tells us, Jesus warns them to keep them from falling away. He wants the disciples to stay connected to him, even if it means that they have to be kicked out of the synagogue, or worse still, killed. The disciples should hold on to the message of Jesus, even to the point of death. Being persecuted like Jesus shows that the disciples are true servants of the Master. They are walking in the same path as their Lord. They are no longer part of the sinful world that rejects its Creator and His Son. The world may seem to be religious on the outside, but by rejecting Jesus and His disciples, the world is actually exposed as not knowing God at all. In fact, they are guilty of rebelling against God. And so the disciples have actually picked the right side. They've picked God's side. And it might not feel like it, you know, as they are kicked out of the synagogue, as they are killed, but they are on the right side. And so what this means is that they should remain connected to Jesus even in the face of persecution. And what about us then? Well, I think the same is true for us, for those of us who follow Jesus. Staying connected to him is costly. We will be hated by the world. The legacy of Christian influence in the UK means that we probably won't be killed for following Jesus. But that is certainly not the case in many other parts of the world. I have a friend originally from Iran who was disowned by his family for choosing to follow Jesus. His family think that they are being loyal to God for cutting him off. And even in our own country, Christians are experiencing more overt hatreds and persecution. You see in the news that street preachers have been arrested for preaching the gospel. And just recently, last month, a nurse was sacked for refusing to take off her cross at work. And those who persecute Christians will do so in the name of fairness and equality. They will think that they are offering service to God, that they are pleasing God by persecuting Christians. Well, for us working in the city, I think we'll probably face more subtle forms of rejection from the world. People will think that Christians are weird. They might not include us in their friendship groups. They might talk behind our backs. They might even ban us from holding evangelistic events. Well, it's really helpful to know, to hear from Jesus' lips, that this persecution, this hatred, this rejection is normal. Those of us who follow Jesus will suffer as our Master did. And for 2,000 years, Christians all over the world have been experiencing different levels of persecution and hatred. We are not doing anything wrong. So let's stay connected to Jesus, even if it is costly. So Jesus has warned us that Christians will face persecution from the world. That is to be expected. But we still haven't answered our initial question. How is it that Christians can stay connected to Jesus in the face of this persecution? Do we just have to accept that life will be really tough? Do we just have to grit our teeth and persist and endure this suffering? Sort of stiff upper lip, keep calm and carry on? Well, no. There is good news. Jesus has some really good news for his disciples, and that's our second point. Expect the helper from Jesus. Expect the helper from Jesus. This is a real game changer. Let me read from verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. The disciples were feeling upset that Jesus was about to leave them. How could they stay connected to Jesus without his help, without his presence? How will they cope with the persecution of the world? Well, Jesus provides them with an answer. He promises to send them a helper, the Holy Spirit himself. And how is it that the Holy Spirit will help them? Well, in two ways. Firstly, he will convict the world. And secondly, he will share Jesus' truth. And so let's start with the first way that the Spirit will help them, convicting the world. Look down with me to verse 8. And when he comes, that's when the Spirit comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. So, job number one, the Spirit will convict the world of their sin, their righteousness, and judgment. The Spirit will make people realize that by rejecting Jesus, they are rejecting God himself. Not only that, but he will also show people that Jesus is the righteous one who obeys God perfectly. And they too can be made perfect if they trust in Jesus. And finally, the Spirit will teach people about Jesus' victory on the cross, how Satan himself has been defeated. So that's job number one. The Spirit will convict the world. And then job number two, the Spirit will share Jesus' truth with his disciples. Let me read from verse 12. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. But whatever he speaks, or whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The disciples were not yet ready to take in the whole of Jesus' message at that time. They did not yet have the helper. But when Jesus sends them the helper, the Spirit, they will be guided into all the truth. What that means is that the disciples will be given perfect understanding when they receive the Holy Spirit. Isn't that great? And they will be able to write down all of Jesus' teaching and present it to the world. And that is how John's Gospel came about. So the John's Gospel in your hands are the Spirit-inspired record of Jesus' life and teaching. And so the Spirit will help the disciples by teaching them John's message to understand it fully. And the disciples themselves will bear fruit as the Spirit convicts people through their teaching of Jesus' message. The Spirit will enable sinners to turn away from their rebellion against God and to trust in Jesus. Now just think of how the Spirit acted through Peter's sermons in the book of Acts to bring about repentance and faith to thousands of people. So, the disciples did not have to face persecution alone. Jesus sent them the Helper, the Holy Spirit. And this is how the disciples could stay connected to Jesus and his words. This is how they were enabled to bear fruit. Jesus warns his disciples to expect the world's hatred and persecution. And so because of that, those of us who follow Jesus will be tempted, will be constantly tempted to distance ourselves from him, to avoid the pain of persecution. And Jesus knows this. He knows it will be tough. He knows that we all crave the world's approval. We long to be liked by our non-Christian friends and to be respected by our colleagues. We want to climb up the career ladder, and we want our kids to have friends. What we fear is hatred from the world. And we think, surely we can please both God and man at the same time. So how then can we stay connected to Jesus when this means persecution from the world? Well, Jesus tells us that the answer is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit has shared all of Jesus' teaching to his first disciples. And so here in John's Gospel, as well as in the rest of the New Testament, we have the whole of Jesus' message. As we read Jesus' words, the Spirit will help us to understand them. He will help us to apply them to our lives and to be changed by them. And so that is the key to staying connected to Jesus in the face of hatred from the world. Well, what about bearing fruit? How can we bear fruit without in the face of persecution? Well, the Spirit is convicting people as we teach Jesus' words, as we present Jesus' words to our non-Christian friends. He will help them to understand who Jesus is and what he has achieved through his death and resurrection. He will cause sinners to be born again so that they too can become followers of Jesus. And in fact, the Spirit is helping Christians to stay connected to him and to bear fruit all over the world. Iran, which is ranked number 8 in the Open Doors persecution watch list, has seen a huge number of conversions in recent years. As I mentioned earlier, one of my friends became a Christian while he was in Iran, and sadly he's been forced to leave his family and country, but he's still keeping going. The Spirit is still helping him to stay connected to Jesus and to bear fruit. And you read reports of Iranian Christians who are in prison still sharing the gospel with their fellow inmates and even their prison guards. And the Lord is leading these people to follow Jesus. The church in China as well experienced terrible persecution during the Cultural Revolution. But it also grew exponentially. Around 10% of the population now call themselves Christians. And that is because the Spirit has been helping Christians to stay connected to Jesus in the face of persecution, and he has been helping them to bear fruit. And that's really encouraging. But what about here in secular London? The Spirit is still at work. People are still becoming Christians. You know, people like Charlotte, who became Christians very recently. So how can Christians bear witness, how can Christians stay connected to Jesus and bear fruit in the face of persecution? It's through the help of the Holy Spirit. And if you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, well, you are very welcome. I'm so glad you could join us today. Well, Jesus tells us what to expect if we follow him. It will be a mixture of both suffering and joy. The world will hate us, but we will not be alone. We will have the Holy Spirit to help us. He will help us to understand and obey Jesus' words. he will be at work through us to make more disciples. And yeah, this has definitely been my own experience. Hatred from the world, but lots of help and support from the Spirit as well to keep me connected to Jesus. And not only that, but you know, some of my non-Christian friends have become Christians as they've read Jesus' words. So the Spirit has been helping me to bear fruit. So on balance, would I recommend following Jesus? Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. It is really hard work, but Jesus equips us for it by giving us the Holy Spirit. And so we can do it. We can stay connected to Jesus. Why don't we end in prayer? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for Jesus' words. Thank you that he is so honest about what we can expect. He tells us that those of us who follow Jesus will expect or can expect persecution. We will be hated by the world. But at the same time, he has not left us alone. He has given us his Spirit to help us stay connected to Jesus and to bear fruit as well. And so, Father, we pray that you would help all of us to trust in Jesus, to keep being connected to him, even in the face of persecution, through the help of your Spirit. Help us not to be anxious, but to have real confidence that we can continue on and join in this great work of making more disciples. In Jesus' name, amen.